All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Ready to dig into another fascinating case?
Always up for a good legal puzzle.
Great, because today we're diving into a case that might seem a little, well, unexpected at first. We're talking ice cream.
Ice cream and contract law. A surprisingly delicious combination.
You got that right. Specifically, we're cracking open the case of Pillsbury Co., Inc. v. Wells Dairy, Inc. This one landed in front of the Iowa Supreme Court back in 2008.
And it's a real gem for understanding some key concepts, especially for those of you just starting your legal journeys. We're talking force majeure clauses.
Oh, yeah, force majeure, everyone's favorite act of God provision.
Exactly. And we'll also be dissecting the real party in interest doctrine, who can actually sue when things go wrong. This case is a crash course in those very practical aspects of contract law.
So picture this. You've got Pillsbury, the folks behind those delicious crescent rolls.
And you've got Wells Dairy, the makers of Blue Bunny ice cream.
And they striked a deal back in 1999, a pretty standard production agreement. Wells is going to manufacture Häagen-Dazs ice cream for Pillsbury. Everything's laid out. The quantities, the timelines, the whole nine yards.
But here's where things get really interesting. Just a couple of months into this agreement, boom, an explosion rocks Wells' manufacturing facility.
Yeah, talk about a wrench in the works. Production comes to a screeching halt.
Now, for our future legal eagles listening, this is where you really want to pay attention.
Yeah.
Because later that same year, Pillsbury shakes things up even more. They form a joint venture with Nestlé. They call it Ice Cream Partners USA, or ICP.
And as part of this new venture, Pillsbury starts transferring some of its ice cream business assets to ICP.
But here's the crucial detail, and you'll see why this matters in a minute. When Pillsbury notifies Wells about all these changes, they explicitly say, "Hey, we're keeping any claims related to that explosion back in March." They hold on to those rights.
Okay, so fast forward a few years to 2002. Pillsbury decides to sue Wells.
They file a lawsuit alleging breach of contract and negligence. Their argument: the explosion didn't let Wells off the hook for fulfilling those original contractual obligations.
It's pretty straightforward, yeah.
Well, not so fast. Wells comes back swinging with two main defenses. First, they point right to that force majeure clause in the contract.
You know, the acts of God clause, the one that says, hey, if something totally unexpected and beyond our control happens, we might be excused from doing what we promise.
Right. Wells argues, an explosion, clearly beyond our control, classic force majeure.
Makes sense on the surface. But their second defense is where things get really interesting in terms of legal strategy. Wells says, hold on a second, Pillsbury. You're not even the right party to be bringing this lawsuit.
They argue that because Pillsbury created ICP and transferred so much of its ice cream business, any claims related to that original production agreement now belong to ICP, not Pillsbury.
Ah, so this is where that real party and interest idea comes into play.
Precisely. It's not just about whether you have the right to sue, but whether you actually own the claim you're suing over.
This sets the stage for the two big legal questions the Iowa Supreme Court had to grapple with. First, did Pillsbury actually transfer its right to sue Wells over the explosion when they created ICP?
And second, did that force majeure clause truly excuse Wells from fulfilling its end of the deal because of that explosion?
Okay, so let's unpack that real party and interest question first.
The court takes a close look at that assignment agreement between Pillsbury and Nestlé. And what's fascinating here is the court finds it ambiguous.
Ambiguous.
Yeah, not crystal clear on whether the claims stemming from the explosion were actually part of the transfer.
And this is where that earlier detail becomes so important. Remember, Pillsbury explicitly told Wells they were holding on to those explosion-related claims.
Right, so the court goes beyond just the words of the assignment agreement and considers what's called extrinsic evidence. Things outside the actual document that might shed light on the intent. And Pillsbury's communication to Wells about keeping those specific claims, well, that carries a lot of weight for the court.
So even if Pillsbury maybe had the right to sue, there's still this open question of whether they were truly the ones who owned that claim after forming ICP.
And the court makes this really important distinction between standing like the legal right to bring a lawsuit and being the real party in interest, the one who actually suffered the harm and stands to benefit from winning the case.
All right, let's shift gears and look at that force majeure clause. Now, the contract said it covered events beyond the reasonable control of the party affected.
So Wells is basically saying, come on, a factory explosion, totally out of our hands, case closed.
But the court pumps the brakes a bit here. They essentially say that negligence, just messing up, isn't usually considered force majeure unless the contract specifically says so.
Right. Think about it. Force majeure is supposed to cover those truly external, unpredictable things, like a natural disaster.
Or a pandemic, maybe.
Exactly. But if a party's own negligence played a role, then it's a lot harder to claim it was completely beyond their control.
It would kind of defeat the purpose of contracts if you could just screw up and then shout, force majeure!
Couldn't agree more. And the court even drops this great quote that sums it up perfectly. They say, an agreement excusing performance due to a party's negligence defeats the purpose of requiring specific performance.
Basically, why bother having contracts with specific obligations if you can just wiggle out of them by claiming negligence was a force majeure event?
Exactly. Especially in a situation like this where the whole point of the contract is to produce a specific amount of ice cream by a certain time.
Okay, so for all our future lawyers out there, what are the big takeaways from this whole ice cream legal saga?
Well, the first one is huge. Clarity is king. When you're drafting contracts, especially when it comes to things like force majeure or assigning rights, be as specific as possible. Leave no room for ambiguity.
Because as this case shows, a little vagueness can lead to a whole lot of legal headaches down the line.
Absolutely. And the second lesson is this. Courts aren't robots just looking at words on a page. They're trying to figure out what the parties intended when they made the deal.
So context matters. Remember how Pillsbury told Wells they were keeping those explosion-related claims? That context played a big role in the court's thinking.
And when it comes to force majeure, remember this. Courts interpret those clauses pretty narrowly. Unless you explicitly say negligence counts, don't assume it's covered. Those clauses are really for those truly external, unpredictable events.
And finally, that whole issue with the assignment highlights the importance of being crystal clear about who owns what claims, especially when you're dealing with business transfers.
If your client is assigning parts of their business or assets, make sure the agreement spells out exactly which claims are going and which are staying. Avoid any potential for confusion down the road.
So, practically speaking, this case is a big reminder to be super detail-oriented when you're negotiating and drafting contracts. Think about those what-if scenarios and address them head-on.
And always remember, even seemingly small details in contract language can have massive implications years later.
All right, just to quickly recap the court's main rulings, the Iowa Supreme Court said there was a genuine question about whether Pillsbury actually transferred those explosion-related claims to ICP, so that needed more scrutiny.
And they made it clear that negligence isn't usually a free pass under a force majeure clause unless the contract specifically says so.
So here's a final thought for all you aspiring legal minds out there. As you continue your studies, think about how you can ensure the contracts you draft are clear, unambiguous, and truly reflect what everyone involved wants.
It's all about preventing those messy and expensive disputes down the line.
Great advice. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of ice cream and contract law. Until next time.
See you then.